Praise God.
A very good morning to all of you. You have your Bible, let's turn to 3 John, verse 1 and 2. Okay, 3 John is the third last book of the Bible. Third last book of the Bible. Okay, 3 John, verse 1 and 2. Thank you, musician. Thank you so much for the time of praise and worship. Thank you that it's so wonderful to always feel the presence of God. 3 John 1 and 2. Father, anoint the service right now. Thank you. We give you the glory and the praises. Jesus' name I pray. 3 John 1 and 2. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, Wealth, Health, and Well-Being. Wealth, Health, and Well-Being. Okay, looking at the book of 3 John, okay, from the earliest time, Christian has understood that this was the Apostle John's writing. Okay, the same John who wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John, 1 John and 2 John, and also the book of Revelation, the beloved disciple of Jesus, that the disciple that, who loved to lay on the bosom of Jesus, the disciple that was not martyred, that lived until the age of 90 plus. That is John, the writer. This book has only one chapter. 3 John has only one chapter, 14 verses. It is slightly longer, one verse longer than 2 John. 2 John has only 13 verses, whereas 3 John has 14 verses. Okay. I would say that 2 John and 3 John form a passage to a local country churches, to the local country churches, or we can call it the provincial churches, like Ilolo Evangel is a provincial church. Probably it's located somewhere in the Roman province of Asia Minor. Asia Minor is Turkey, present-day Turkey. Okay, it's a very sad thing. Turkey has the seven churches. Okay, Ephesus, Corinthian, they're all there. Joy goes there, and she said that she saw the ruin of the churches that are there. Okay, it's very sad because Turkey is now a Muslim country, but it was a Christian country at that time. So I will say that, put in today's context, it is addressing the local church, like Evangel Tabernacle. It is addressing us. The message is for each and every one of us, the local church. The letter is addressed to a leader of that church named Gaius. Okay, the leaders of the church, his name is called Gaius. According to tradition, Bible tradition, it was said that Gaius was made bishop of Pergamon. Okay, one of the churches is Pergamos. Okay, I think you saw that in the seven churches in the book of Revelation. He was made bishop of Pergamon by John himself. John the apostle himself was the elder. The Bible starts with the elder. He was that elder. The elder mentioned in verse 1. The elder is a term synonymous with the term pastor, synonymous with the term bishop. Okay, so when John said he was the elder, he was the bishop, he was the pastor of the church. And this morning, I also like to speak and encourage the elders of our church that you hold a very high position and a very prestigious position in this church. Okay, we are Pastor Lily and I, we are putting the leadership to Pastor Carlos that will be above the elders, but we are also putting you to support, and you hold very prestigious position in this church. I'm addressing you today not because I find fault with your eldership, but to remind you to live up to the expectation and perform your role faithfully, efficiently, and be an example. And that's what John the Apostle was talking to Gaius, talking to him, that you hold a very high position. You have to perform your role faithfully, efficiently, and be an example. Okay, the New American Standard Bible translated verse 2 as, "Beloved, I pray that in all respect you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prosper." Three things stands out from just this one verse. Okay, the theme of my Bible verse is 3 John 2. Prosper, good health, and well-being. Prosper, good health, and well-being. Which forms the three main points of my sharing this morning. Of course, this verse cannot be used as a proof text for health and God wealth gospel, so popular in today's society, so popular in North America especially, and even among churches all over the world. Yet, we cannot deny the core heart of our Heavenly Father. The word above of 3 John 2 reveals God's heart. You know what is God's heart? Health, prosper, well-being. Prosper, good health, well-being of the soul. Then who are you? Who are you in the sight of God? John used the word beloved. And the King James Version translated it as well-beloved. In fact, beloved and well-beloved was mentioned twice in these two verses. Okay, the whole atmosphere of John's writing was one of love. You must understand that. That is how God looked at us. That is who you are in the sight of God. Who you are in the sight of God. View so that you can understand God better. If you think otherwise, then I will tell you that you are believing the lies of the devil. God says He loves you and God loves you. There's no denying of the truth. The Bible says, "I wish." Okay, "I wish" in the King James Version, in another translation, is replaced with "I pray." I pray. I pray is a typical Greek letter. Okay, a prayer for the recipient's prosperity and health. Okay, the term soul is push. Almost synonymous with pneuma and parallel to the Hebrew word nefesh. They are used to refer to the essence of the personhood, the entire self, the essence of the person. They are referring to your totality of yourself. Humans are a unity, body, soul, and spirit. That's what Pastor Lily shared last Sunday. Okay, we are a tripartite being. So it is wishing for and praying for the well-being of your entire person, your entire personhood, your entire self. To clarify, some has wrongly taken this as a guarantee of perpetual wealth and perfect health for the Christian. Frankly, even if you fulfill all the Ten Commandments of God and walk in accordance with the ways of God, they do not guarantee perpetual wealth and perfect health. The best example is Job. Job is the best example. Okay, Job was upright. But even his wealth and his health were taken away from him at one time. But we as Christians, we have to learn to trust like Job. Then wealth and health will accompany us in the end. Concerning wealth and health, we must take note of a few things. Okay? I'm sharing this message because I want to tell you that God wants you to have wealth, God wants you to have health, God wants you to have well-being. This is the purpose of the sharing this morning. You must take note of a few things concerning wealth and health. One, you must remember that God wants our best and plans only good for us. God wants your best and plans only good for us. When I come to Christ at the age of 17, in 1979 or 18, God wants my best and God only planned what is good for me. You say, "Are you sure, Pastor? This is authenticated by the verse, 'I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper.'" This is the gospel truth. And this is the intention of the message today. Often, material prosperity and physical health are part of that good that God has for us. And this prosperity and health are absolutely promised.
This prosperity and health are absolutely promised as the ultimate destiny of all believers. Very powerful, very, very powerful. Two, yet for the present time, God may, according to His all-wise plan, use a lack of material prosperity and a lack of physical health to promote greater prosperity and health in the scale of eternity. Again, this is manifested in the example of Job. God's way, you know, God's way is beyond human understanding. And life is very complex and very complicated. We revolve ourselves along on our alone. But there are our family. There is still our neighbors. There is still our country. And God manages everything. Okay? God's way is beyond human understanding. Complex. Life is complex and complicated. This is what he told Job exactly. He did not give Job the answer why he lost his health and his wealth. He did not. And God many a time will not tell you. God will not tell you. But God just asked Job to trust Him. He simply is asking you, like Job, to trust Him. The way God does things in our life, honestly, I cannot fathom. We cannot fathom. If you are not very wealthy today and have some health issue, there is a reason. And at times God does not explain to you at all. God does not explain to you at all. You can seek God until the day you die. God will not explain to you. Look at Paul. There's something wrong with his eyes, right? Did God tell him what's wrong with his eyes? He asked God to remove it. Remove the thorn in his flesh, in his eyes. But God did God say, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you." The same thing God will say that to each and every one of us. God does not explain to you. You can only trust Him. But you can be rest assured. You can be rest assured. God used a lack of material prosperity and physical health to promote greater prosperity and health in the scale of eternity. Look at Job. In the scale of eternity, at the end of Job's life, and now in heaven, Job, God uses a lack of material prosperity and physical health to promote greater prosperity. Satan loses up. Satan loses up to God concerning Job. That is his purpose. We also do not know why. In the scale of eternity. Three, nevertheless, some live in poverty and disease, even as Christian. Simply because they do not seek God's best. They do not follow God's principle. And they do not walk in faith. If you smoke every day and you have lung cancer, you live in sickness simply because you do not follow God's principle. If you have multiple sex partners and you live a promiscuous life and ending with sexually transmitted disease, you can only say that you live in disease simply because you do not follow God's principle. You do not follow God's principle. As well, there are also others who say that we should take God's promise of health, wealth, and well-being as a blessing. And so I can indulge in carnal desire, indulge in ease, indulge in comfort, indulge in luxuries. That is the thing about Singaporean Christian. They have so much health, wealth, and luxuries and well-being. So they indulge in carnal desire. They indulge in ease. They indulge in comfort. And they miss the point. We totally miss the point. Okay, if you say that if I am healthy, I'm wealthy, I have a good well-being, and I indulge in my carnal desire, I tell you, you miss the point. You miss the point of why God gives you this. Let's learn some truth from this simple verse in John 2. Number one, okay? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. God say to you, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. This is in the Bible. God say, the heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Not even one exclamation mark. Not even one
comma, not even one question mark, will be removed.
And God said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper.
What is God's heart revealed to you in 3 John 2? It begins with, I wish above all things. See, the King James Version does not really bring up the meaning of this word. Okay, they did not bring up the essence of this verse. But if you study other versions like the English Standard Version and even the Amplified Bible, you get the meaning more clearly. This verse is not a wish. John did not merely wish prosperity for Gaius. It was a desire in his heart. It is a desire in God's heart expressed as a prayer. To put it in today's context, it's more of a command. It's more of a command. For example, Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to 18 say that God will give the Ephesians a spirit of wisdom. God will give us a spirit of wisdom. Without a doubt, this is not just Paul's wish. It is a spirit's desire. In the same way, John's prayer request and desire above was not merely some wish or the human desire. It was the Spirit's desire. It was the Holy Spirit's desire. It's God's desire. It's Jesus' desire. Leading to a command. This is what God wants for you. That you may prosper. Prosperity. The King James Version uses above all things. Okay, then again, if you use another translation, it renders a better understanding. It is not above all things, but in all things. I wish in all things. It is prosperity in every single thing that concerns you. Wow. It's prosperity in every single thing that concerns you. This immediately put the word prosperity, as God uses it, in the right perspective. As the English Standard Version translate the word prosper really means it may go well with you. It may go well with you. This is verified by the verse, just as your soul prosper. John here make an analogy between the conditions of the wealth and health to the conditions of the soul. Very powerful. The conditions of the wealth and health to the conditions of the soul. There is a co-relationship. When your soul prosper, there is health and wealth. There's close relationship. Many Christians, it is very sad. It is a very sad thing that many Christians will be desperately ill, sick, if their physical health and wealth were instantly in the same state as their spiritual health. Because for many Christians, their spiritual health is not well. And because their spiritual health is not well, their wealth is not well. There's a close relationship. You must understand this truth. We are not just, I'll explain to you later. We are not just body, soul, and mind. Prosperity is not just financial. It means well with whatever you're doing. But then again, I want to say, I don't want to make it spiritualize it. You should not discard the primary purpose of this verse. Financial prosperity. Yeah. The primary purpose of this verse is financial prosperity. He explained to us the sphere of prosperity in three ways. Number one, he gives us a general sphere of prosperity. He said that you may prosper in everything or all things. Remember, this is what God wants for you. He wants it that it be well with everything and with you. Everything means everything. Everything means everything. He wants everything. And it means everything. That it may be well with you. He goes further and gives more specific by giving us two specific areas of prosperity. First one he mentioned is physical health. Well, health is prosperity. God wants that you should prosper in your health. That's why Pastor Lily took 2 weeks to explain to you the last 2 weeks. For the health part, I'll elaborate it on the second point.
He correlated it with Gaius' spiritual life. See, and with the word, even as your soul prosper. This is prosperity in your spiritual life. Even as your soul prosper, this is prosperity in your spiritual life. How is your walk with God? How is your walk with God? Is it well? If you are doing well spiritually, then I can tell you it is prosperity. I can tell you that the other two areas will be okay. There are many areas of prosperity besides health and spiritual life. It can also prosper in your finances, relationship, ministry, marriage, etc. And this is God's heart. Everything is everything. This is God's heart. He wants you to prosper in all things. Even as, even as your soul prosper. This is very important. That the thing, even as your soul prosper, is very important. Even suggest other areas of prosperity are secondary to the prosperity of your soul. The prosperity of the soul is more important and instrumental to the prosperity of your health and your wealth. God did not call you primarily to have a good marriage, increase finance, solve emotional problem. He called you above all else to be in a relationship with Him. Take note, to be in a relationship with Him. And when this relationship with Him is healthy and prosperous, then every other areas of your life will be brightened with prosperity. Some Christians struggle with this passage of Scripture. They find almost offensive to say that God wants everything to be well. Because as Christians, they felt that something must be broken. Because you are Christian, something must be broken in your life to cause pain and suffering. Because you are a Christian, so something must be broken in life, and it is part of your life as a Christian. No, it is very interesting that our ideas of God is so distorted. You know, Jesus was prosperous in three areas. He was prosperous. We have this distorted idea that we believe easily that God loves to punish us. I want to tell something about punishment of sin. You have sinned in your life. You know what's the first thing you should do? Ask God to forgive you. Cleanse yourself in the blood of Jesus. Walk in truth again. And the ways of prosperity will continue. For us, when we did something wrong, oh, God is punishing me. So God cut off the wealth and prosperity. God cut off. God sent sickness. God sent this. God sent that. No, you're so wrong. We think of God as someone really with the whip to whip you. No, you're so wrong. Your reaction should be when you have fallen, you have done something wrong. You say, God, I'm so sorry. I am really sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Then the wealth and the health and the prosperous soul will continue for your life. You know, you think we have these distorted ideas that God is always wanting to punish us for our sin rather than wanting us to be well. God wants you to be well. Part of the reason is that we carry the blurry picture of God in the Old Testament, which is a God of judgment, to the picture of God in the New Testament. If you ever doubt who God is and what He thinks of you, look at the life of Jesus in the Gospel. His earthly life is the most graphic and visible display of God and who God is and what God looks at you and what God wants for you. Why did He send His Son? For God so loved the world. For God so loved you that He sent His Son. Secondly, this verse does not teach us that we will never face challenges in life as Christians. There are two distinct truths that must not be confused with each other. The fact that God wants to prosper us in all things does not mean that we will not go through hard times. We will go through hard times. Yet in those hard times, in those difficult moments, God's will for us is like the lighthouse we are looking at to get us through. You know, like Pastor Lillian, we were in Maldives. We took the speedboat. We went there to catch fish, and I caught no fish. Everybody inside the speedboat caught fishes except I. But it was really dark. So we have to go back to our town, our city. It was dark, and the wave was choppy. But the speedboat was just going, going, going. Not afraid of anything. Because the speedboat was looking at the lighthouse. Looking at the lighthouse. Same thing with for us. Life is choppy. Life is full of problems. Life is full of danger. But if you look at the lighthouse, he's like the lighthouse we can look at, and you will get us through. You will get us through the choppiness of this world's life. Finally, for financial prosperity, it's God's will for us to prosper. I want to tell you something, okay? David said, I've been young, I've been old, I've never seen the righteous begging. I have never seen. Pastor Lily and me, we have been here for 40 years. There was never one time there was no food on the table. Never one time. There was never one month that God did not push the church through. Never, never, for 40 years. 40 years. Never one time. Yet God owns our wealth. And we have to be good stewards of our wealth. I explain this later. God's goal is to bring the kingdom down and involves your cooperation, especially in money matters. It takes money to win souls. It takes money to run the church. But then if you argue with God and you cheat God on tithing, okay, I want to say that tithing is 10% of your income, then I'm sure that God knows how to extract back from you what you owe. I can tell you that. I can tell this truth. I've been a Christian for 43 years. 43 years. And I've always honored God with my substance. I pay my tithes for 43 years. I've not cheated God in my tithing all these years. All these years. I can only tell you from personal experiences that God has blessed me back more than I have paid my tithes and given Him and given Him. I'll give you an example of my brother-in-law. We need to stay in his house. He stayed in a condo. Very, very nice. Very nice. Each room has its own CR. But he said this statement, we want to take care of you because of the servant of God, but I just want to tell you that I don't pay tithes. He said that more than 25 or 30 years ago to me. And he has never paid his tithe. He's never paid his tithes all these years. Then the next moment I heard that, he's rich, his parents are rich. Really rich, I'm not kidding you. Then he lost a condo. I said, oh, so sad. Then his son that was born has only 3 fingers on the arms. We love the son a lot. We brought the son out to eat. And when the son was eating with us, that time he doesn't know anything. So he was enjoying his food. But people from other table was looking at him because of his 3 fingers on his hand only. Today he's a taxi driver. Then recently, 2 weeks ago, another sister of mine said that, please pray for this, my sister, who is the wife of this man. Please pray for my sister. So Pastor Lily said, what is wrong with your sister? What is wrong with your sister? Another sister said, oh, she has back pain. Then Pastor Lily said, which part of the pain of the back? Then she said, lower back. Lower back. So Pastor Lily went to a research. Lower back pain. Fear of finance. Worry of finance. Worry of finance. Worry of finance. So I just want to tell something. For financial prosperity, it's God's will for you to prosper. Yet God owns your wealth. Owns your wealth. So you have to be faithful. Understanding that God owns your health, your wealth. Number 2, be in health. Okay, the second issue is, I like to expand on, is health. Health matters. Health matters. Being health is good health. God hates us to be sick. Please understand this. God hates to see us sick because falling sick was not part of His plan for humanity. He did not design us to be sick or fall sick. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, you will notice that there was no sickness in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness, and it has never been God's intention. sickness and disease came about after sin came in. And it has this ravaging effect upon human. But it's God's will for us to enjoy good health. That's why Christ came to restore back, to restore back. The purpose of Christ coming is to restore back what we have lost. And it's verified in 3 John 2. There are four reasons why God wants us to be in health. It glorifies God. How can you tell people that you have a great God and you're always sick? How can you tell people that you have a great God and you're always poor? It glorifies God. You are taking care of your body. Huh? If I see you very healthy, I see you very young, I would like to, hey, what is your, you know the Chinese say, 这是你的秘密, what is your secret? You can tell that it's because of God. It's been a good witness. You have more energy, you are better equipped to do what God has planned for you. But the thing I want to talk about is, the root of sickness is the devil's scheme. The root of sickness is the devil's scheme. Sickness and disease are universal and has plagued humankind since the fall of man. Medical science has improved, made significant progress in understanding and treating ailment. But the spiritual part of sickness has been overlooked. It is essential to recognize that sickness was not just a physical phenomenon, but also a spiritual attack from the enemies of our soul, the devil. One of the real reasons for sickness is the attack of the devils. I give you a few verses. Job 2:7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. Here we see Satan, the adversary, striking Job with physical affliction. The passage established a clear link between the devil and sickness. Then look at Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound with sickness for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Jesus himself attributed the woman's sickness to Satan's bondage, highlighting the spiritual nature of affliction. Maybe your sickness has some spiritual implication. Your sickness has some spiritual implication. Maybe it's an attack of the devil. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. What did he do? Healing. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This verse reveals Jesus' healing ministry was a direct challenge to the devil's oppressive power over human bodies. This passage reveals sickness can be a direct result of the devil's oppressive power. But our Lord came. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil and has given us authority over the power of the enemy. Okay, as believers in Christ, we must recognize the spiritual dimension of sickness and confront it with the power of Christ. We must pray for healing, cast out demons, and claim God's promise. I want to tell you, I have this weakness in my spirit that some of you are sick because the devil is the one that caused it. And you have to take authority and remove the power and take authority and cast out the demon and take authority and cast out the curse in your life. Afterwards, at the altar call. Sickness is not just a part of the nature of life. It is a spiritual attack from the devil aimed at diminishing our quality of life, our faith, our weakness. As believers, we must recognize the root of sickness and confront them with the authority of Jesus. By faith, we overcome sickness, disease, and testify to the healing power of Jesus Christ. You know, when Christ came on earth, he was on an all-out war against sickness. You notice it. You look at the four gospels, you go and read the four gospels. You know, Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know he's so powerful in healing? Do you know, you know what he did? He said, I do not know how to read. Okay, but my wife, Polly, taught me to read the four gospels. So every day, he just read the four gospels. He cannot read newspaper, but he know how to read the four gospels. He know how to read. He just read the four gospels. He just read the four gospels. He just read the four gospels every day. Read, read, read. Until when everybody is sick, he just pray and the sickness goes. Because the four gospels shows Jesus all out power, effort against sickness and disease. Because healing was essential to his redemptive assignment. Healing and health are part of the redemptive package. We must push it out of mind that healing, that sickness is part of life. When Jesus encountered people who asked him for healing, he said to them, if you are sick, Jesus said to you, hear what your faith expects. Hear what your faith expects. According to your faith, be it so. According to your faith, be it so. When you expect health, you will live in health. People, they are sick. Say, Jesus, please heal me. According to your faith, be it so. When you expect health, you shall have health. Jesus has a legal basis for healing Jews. You know, there is one reason why Jesus healed the Jews through Abraham's covenant with God. Same thing, there's one reason Jesus has a legal basis for healing you as child of the living God. Okay? Because of Abraham's covenant with God. You look at this, Luke 13:16, which says, this dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? What qualified the woman for healing was the fact that she belongs to the lineage of Abraham. She was covered by the covenant Abraham had with God. So powerful. God said, Jesus is saying, I have to heal her because Abraham has a covenant relationship with God, and she is from the lineage of Abraham. Then for us as Christians, we are in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We are in the lineage of Jesus, which is more powerful. There's a new covenant relationship that we have established through Christ. Not with the blood of animals. Not with circumcision. But by the blood of Christ. We can make whole. We can be made whole. Because we have a covenant relationship with Jesus. Jesus. I even hear of people that take communion and got healed on the spot. You know, we are whole because of Jesus. You know, John Austin, very famous even in the Philippines, a very powerful instrument used by God in the area of healing. He always said this, he always quote this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He always quote this, my people, he's saying that the Christians are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge that you are covered by the covenant that Abraham made with God. Lack of knowledge that you are in a new covenant established by Christ through the blood of Jesus. Lack of knowledge. You know, John Austin emphasized physical health over financial health. He's saying that physical health is even above financial health. Very powerful. Physical health is even above financial health. I'll give you a real example. No, John Rockefeller was only 33 years old when he became the first millionaire in America. Like Elon Musk today. They say Elon Musk will be the first trillionaire. When he was 43 years old, he owned the largest company in America, Standard Oil Company. At the age of 53, he became the first billionaire in America, the richest man in the world. It was at this time in the early 1900s that he became very sick, and he can only eat crackers and milk. Every day, he has all the money in the world. He can only eat crackers. What's the crackers called? Sky flake. He can only eat sky flake and milk. Every day. What is better? Health or wealth? You tell me now. And he was on his deathbed. He was dying. And the media was excited that he's dying. The newspaper talked about him. They even write his obituary. They say he's about to die. They say, those who hate him say he deserves it because he's so greedy. But John Rockefeller said he was a Christian. And he was a very bad one at that. He confessed he was a Christian, but he was a very bad one at that. He did understand that God had given him the gift to accumulate wealth. However, it was a curse because he had not sought to know the purpose of the wealth which has been given by the Almighty God. See, you must understand. He did not ask the purpose. He has not asked God for the true purpose of the wealth that has been given by Almighty God. He said he heard this pastor say, God will give money to you if he can get it through you. I say again, God will give money to you. Look at your income. Look at your earnings. Look at your giving. God will give money to you if you can get it through you. I say again, God will give money to you if he can get it, get the money through you. So John Rockefeller went to sleep one night and he turned to God in prayer. And God gave him a vision. In the vision, the Lord said to him, all the money in the world will do you no good in heaven or in hell. Whoa. God said to John Rockefeller, all the money you have will do you no good in heaven and in hell. You cannot bring all your money to hell. Pastor Lily's sister was wealthy. All her money goes to who? She did not bring it. Hey, coffin, put it inside my coffin. No. The sister of the Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Wei Ling, very intelligent lady. She sold her property, which is worth 53 million, then she died. She died like that. Where the money that can she say, oh, I'm going to enjoy myself with the 53 million? No. I got told John Rockefeller, all the money, and I say to you, all the money in the world will do you no good in heaven or hell. I tell you now, your job and your responsibility are to give it away to bless others. That's what God said to him. You know what he did? The next day he called all his staff and he formed the John Rockefeller Foundation. His philanthropy changed the world, became the example where all other philanthropies followed. He set the highest standard of philanthropy through him. Because of Rockefeller's giving during that time, many diseases were wiped out during the early parts of the century. But as he gave, his wealth increased. His wealth continued to increase. As he gave, his wealth continued to increase, and he spent the next 40 years until he was in his 90s. 53 sick. The next 40 years, he spent the next 40 years giving it away. Then he discovered his true calling in life. God started to give him peace of mind, inner healing, and open the door for God to give him physical healing. He lived until 93. Rockefeller experienced many miracles. In the midst of it all, he found his true calling. His health turned around and he spent the next 40 years giving away the wealth he had accumulated. He received the peace of mind that came with it, the inner healing that God gave him, and it's possible for him to have outer physical healing. Jeremiah 30:17 says this, but I will bring healing for you. So I'm going to say to you right now, I'll bring healing for you and I'll heal your wound, says the Lord. God wants you to be well. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be strong. 3, well-being of the soul. As I said, we are a tripartite being. All humans have 3 parts. Existent body, soul, spirit, which we studied from Pastor Lily. Our soul is the essential part of our mind, our talent, our thoughts, our imagination, our emotion. But one thing different about the people outside the world and the people with us is that we have an extra. We have something extra. We have the Holy Spirit. We are not just a tripartite being, but we have the extra. We have the Holy Spirit. If you see yourself correctly in that perspective, then there is well-being of the soul. How? When you identify with Christ. This is a true identity as a Christian. Our identity is the foundation of a prospering life. I say again, your identity, when you identify with Christ, is the foundation of a prospering life. Because from the extra, the Holy Spirit. We receive the power to always completely transform our way of thinking, transform our way of thinking to the wills of God, to the ways of God. Jesus starts to literally live through us. And so long as we conform, the conformity remains, the priority remains. We are putting Christ first, kingdom first, our soul will be prospering, and consequently, our wealth, our health, in all elements of life, we will prosper. I conclude. We are exactly the opposite of 3 John 2. We suffered in our wealth, our health, and our well-being. We suffered. Last Sunday at the altar call, everybody came for healing. Why are we not in health? Why are we not in health, wealth? Because of the wrong conception of God. We forgot that God, we never really believe that God loves us. We think of our sin more than the thing of God loves us. Yeah, that's your problem. You think of a sin more than you think of God loves for you. I'm not trying to say you can sin, okay, but I'm just trying to tell you, you must look at it that God actually loves you. In the first and foremost reason, God loves you. We never really believe that God wants us to have wealth, health, and well-being. We don't believe. Because of our wrong conception of God. That's why Pastor Lee said, let's have the Father's line. And the Father's line is the longest line. Why? Because we have a wrong conception of God. Pastor Carlos said, Pastor, next time we have to extend longer because the second service is even longer. The pastor line is so long. The father line is so long. Why? Because we have this problem of our understanding of God. We never really believe that God loves us. We never really believe that God wants wealth, health, and well-being for us. We never really believe. Because of the lack of knowledge also. That we are in the covenant line of Jesus, the covenant line of Abraham. Because of faithlessness, because of fear, because of sin. But Jesus came. God sent Jesus. The Bible said he was full of well-being. Do you know Jesus was full of well-being? He was in favor with God and with men. There is the prosperity of his soul. Jesus was never sick, do you know that? Jesus never worried about money, do you know that? And he penetrated the world by attacking sicknesses. When he started only, he attacked sicknesses, bringing people back to the fellowship with God. One thing stood out above all the ministry of Jesus, health. Health. But he lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his well-being. He lost everything. He lost his health when he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Jesus became the greatest sufferer, the ultimate sufferer. You say you suffer, Jesus became the ultimate sufferer. You say his health, he was crucified. His wealth, they took his linen cloak and cast it. His well-being, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? He lost all these things. He lost it. Why? He was crucified on the cross. Jesus gave himself to death. Why? So that you can be well. You understand me? Why did Jesus go to the cross of Calvary? He became the ultimate sufferer because of health, wealth, and well-being. So that health, wealth, well-being can be restored to you. Can be restored to you. That's why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He's resurrected and he's always making intercession for us so that we can be well. He wants us to be healthy and strong so that we can be witnesses of his love, his grace, his power in this last day that the world is full of sicknesses, full of terror, full of fear, full of everything. Today you can receive the power of Jesus in all aspects of your life. Begin to apply it by faith in this moment. Commit yourself to be well and to strengthen yourself in every aspect of your life. You know, Jesus promised in Jeremiah 33:6, Behold, I will bring healing and medicine. I will cure you. Christ has already died at the cross of Calvary. I will bring healing and medicine. I will cure you. And I will reveal to you abundance of peace and truth. That is well-being. I will bring you healing. I will bring you health, medicine, and I will cure you. I will reveal to you an abundance of peace and truth. After this, when you come to the altar, come to the altar and take back what really belongs to you. Take back your health, your wealth, and your being. Tell the devil he lies to you. If you say that it's because you sin, you say, God, I'm so sorry. Remove the curse. Forgive me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Honor, claim back the health, wealth, and being. Believe God. Believe God. And break the life of a curse. Break the life of poverty. Break the life of sicknesses and diseases. Break the life of a dampened spiritual life. Break the life of a broken spiritual life. Break the curse. Jesus came so that you can take back your wealth, your health, and your being. Shall we all stand up? Shall we all stand up? Musician, I'd like to encourage you. Maybe as I shared with you, you understand what is wrong. And I want you to come to the altar. And I want you to come to the altar with authority. I want you to come to the altar and say, I am a child of God. I am linked to Jesus. I am the spiritual lineage. I'm linked to Abraham's covenant. I'm linked to Jesus' covenant. I'm linked to Jesus' covenant. And I'm linked to Abraham's covenant. And I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I want to take back my wealth, my health, and my well-being of my soul. And you are going to tell the devil, you lies. I curse these sicknesses. I curse these diseases. I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse the lies. I curse the bondage. I curse the bondage. I curse the imprisonment. I curse the chain. I curse the chain that has bound me so many years. And I break it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then look at Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you became the ultimate sufferer. You lost your wealth, health, and well-being so that you can return back to me my wealth, health, and well-being. I thank you, Jesus, and I receive my wealth, health, and well-being into my soul. Flood your spirit inside me right now. Flood your spirit inside me right now. If this is what you believe, I invite you to come to the altar as we sing.